I'll be reading from 1 John 1 through 7. Oops. Where does that go? But suppose we walk in the light, just as he is in the light, then we share life with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, makes us pure from all sin.
While Dan's making his way up here, my pea brain left me a while ago, what little there is there, and I forgot to tell you something that's very, very important, and that is that today, and I should have told you this before we took up our contribution, but today was our Lifeline of Hope contribution, the fourth Sunday, and I'm sure all of you remembered that, but we usually try to remind you of it. It would not be that important except there's a small orphanage in Southeast India that really depends on, in fact, we're their only support, so that's why it's really, really important. Thank you. And welcome back from a period.
Preach the word, brother.
Good morning.
Good morning, buddy.
The sitting down business is for the birds, but I'm going to try it. Good to see all of your faces. You know, for the past few weeks, I've been sitting up here facing this way, and you guys go out that way, and I don't get to see you. So it's good to see you. I want to say thank you for coming by to see me. Many of you have brought pies and cakes, and I'm getting fat and enjoying every minute of it. But thank you so much. And also thank you for the kindness that you've shown me and my family with the passing of my dad. Appreciate all of you very much. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to finish the series we started, I don't know, a couple months ago, before my softball experience. Who's in charge of softball, by the way? Is that you, Kirk? Take me off the list permanently. Well, shortly after Charity and I first got married, we had some cows. Now, I don't have my cow pictures with me, but I got these off the internet. These are not the actual cows. That's a disclaimer, okay? Oh, I don't know how that one got there. Anybody know what that is? By the way, that is about this tall and holds about a gallon. That's a milk bottle for feeding baby calves. Charity and I got some baby calves, and Teddy was one of them. Norman was one of them. I don't remember the other one, and then I bought another one named Ham Hamburger. I'll leave that one up to your speculation. We had these calves, and we spent our time right after we first got married taking care of these little calves and organizing where they ate and building a barn for them and doing all of these wonderful things and feeding them. But one of them looked kind of like this. He had an eye problem. He got this thing, I don't know if it was pink eye or whatever, because I didn't ever take him to the vet. Didn't have enough money for that. It was one of those get better or die situations, you know. Apparently, I could have taken him to the vet, and he could have got shots in his eye that would have cured it, and I just thought, man, I wouldn't do that to an enemy, you know. So I let this cow go and go and go, and his eye kept getting wider and wider and wider. Then it spread to the other eye, and before long, that calf was blind. Anybody ever had a blind calf? Boy, oh yeah, we do, actually. That's nice. So you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so this blind calf, you go down to the barn to feed the cows, you know, and if you didn't make some noise and you just kind of walked up on him and then made a noise when you got close, man, talk about dangerous. He'd kill you, I mean, because he didn't know you was there. This guy was blind as a bat. Well, I got worried about that. I got really concerned about, what am I going to do now that I've got this calf that's blind? Do they have, like, blind school for cows? Or how do I take take care of, the proper way to take care of a cow? Am I going to get him a pointing stick, or I don't know what to do? So I called my buddy. And my buddy, I said, ask your dad. He's a cowman from way back. Ask him what am I going to do about this. You know what he said? No, he didn't say butcher. We'll talk later. He said, don't worry about it. He said, that calf will listen and he will just follow the rest of the herd. And I thought, man, so I watched, and lo and behold, my blind calf that could not see anything, he would just listen and graze along and follow the herd. Now I'll leave you to guess where I'm going with the spiritual application with this. But spiritually speaking, sometimes we can be blind also. You know, Eve was blinded in the Garden of Eden. New Testament tells us that she was deceived. Satan came to her and Adam both, and he shared this lie with them, and she bought into that. How many of you in here have ever been deceived? I have. How many times have you bide into... bide. It's the chair, I'm telling you. How many times have you bought into something that wasn't true? Well, apparently, quite a few times. Dr. Chris Thurman wrote a book recently on it, and a really good book, The Lies We Believe. 264 pages of good reading. You know why? Because we tend to buy into things that are not true. Sometimes I've known people that was raised as a young person and told, you're not worth anything. You're just not good for anything. And guess what? That's a lie, right? But a lot of times people grow into adulthood and they'll believe that lie. Have you ever bought into a lie? Boy, I have on more than one occasion. As I look around today, I see a lot of kids in our auditorium. And I'm excited that they're here. Have you ever been to a church where there wasn't any young people? Oh, it's just terrible. But we have a great bunch of young kids and my own kids, and I thought to myself, these guys need to know what truth is so they don't buy into a lie. And how are they going to know what that truth is? Well, in the sixth grade, I was in Mr. McKinnick's class. Thought y'all need to know that for what reason, I'm not sure. But Mr. Kinnick told us in the science class, here's how you figure out what truth is. How many of you have heard of the scientific method? Yeah, well, you probably have. Let me read it to you and see if you recognize it. The scientific method is a body of techniques for investigating phenomena and acquiring new knowledge, as well as for correcting and integrating previous knowledge. It is based on gathering observable, empirical, and measurable evidence subject to specific principles of reason. The collection of data through observation and experimentation and the formulation and testing of hypothesis. You know what a hypothesis is? This is Dan's interpretation. It's an educated guess. Does God leave us to educate to an educated guess concerning His Word? I don't think so. This morning, I'm specifically slowing way down. We're not getting through chapter 4. We're going to get through the first 6 verses because I want to talk to you. Specifically, the Apostle John wants to talk to you about how and where you get truth from. I didn't say this, so I'm going to slow down enough to say it. There's a lot of places out there in our day and time that are trying to tell this world what they need to do spiritually. There are over 500 religions in the United States. And today, in this postmodern world where there are no absolutes, and no one's supposed to pick on anybody else, everybody's just supposed to be tolerant of everyone else, we kind of get off in this little spot where we don't want to talk about any specific truth. I want to tell you, church, this morning, that there is specific truth in God's Word. I do not apologize or back up from it. Matter of fact, I'm going to stand up about it.
Amen.
God's Word and His Word alone is truth. And we got to camp out on that. Lest we be swayed. Lest we be deceived and bite into an apple that was not intended for us. I don't know if Eve ate an apple or not, but whatever kind of fruit it was, you're with me. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Let me get the cow eyeball off the screen. There we go. That'll help y'all out a little bit. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world." The last verse of chapter 3 says, "The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know this, that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." We're talking about the Holy Spirit in conjunction with false teaching, false prophets, deceivers, and specifically John calls them antichrist. So there's a contrast going on here in which he says, "Beloved, do not." This is real clear in the Greek and it's pretty clear in the English. This isn't a suggestion. This is an imperative. Do not believe every spirit that comes along. And the spirit here is talking about people who teach false things about God. Don't believe everybody that comes along. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Let's talk about every spirit, not believing every spirit. Where will we turn for truth? I'm going to throw out a few categories. Certainly I'm missing some and you can help me fill some in. Here's a few categories that a lot of people in this world, sometimes a lot of people in the church, this is places generally that people turn to for truth outside of God's Word. Tell me if you've ever been there, because I have on a point or two. First of all, we turn to our parents or relatives. If our parents tell us that this is right, which, you know, our parents, they try to direct us in a godly way. Don't get me, and don't misunderstand me. And if you're a kiddo sitting in May God bless you this morning as you search your heart to see if there's any changes you need to make before the Lord. As we stand and sing the song of invitation.